The Reign of Christ, Future, Not Present. His inspired epistle to the Ephesians, the Apostle Paul speaks of the exaltation of the Lord Jesus by his Father. He raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the Ecclesia, which is his body, as written in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 20 to 23. So it was that subsequent to his resurrection, the Lord Jesus was given power and elevated to a status far greater than all the principalities and powers of this world, yea, a position greater even than the angels of God. For he received a name more excellent than they, as written in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, a name which is above every name, at which every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, as written in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 to 10. The Lord himself taught his disciples concerning the power now vested in him. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth, as written in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18, but does the bestowal of this power over both earthly and heavenly things mean that the Lord currently possesses a royal dominion? Although he has been given power, does he currently exercise it as a king ruling from his throne? The answer of another writer is clear in commenting upon these words of the Lord. Although the words rule and reign are not used here by Jesus, it is abundantly clear that he has been put in charge of heaven and earth. And what else can that mean but that he rules and reigns over both domains? Libody, The Endeavour Magazine, June 1999, and again in the same article. We are told concerning the Lord Jesus, we seem to be so intent on telling others that he is to return to reign on earth that we neglect to tell them what the New Testament teaches so clearly, that he reigns now from heaven. And again, Jesus is not merely the heir to the throne, for he is now enthroned at his Father's side, sharing his Father's throne, as written in Revelation chapter 3, verse 21, clearly there as king. And yet once more, it is certainly not good enough to say that Jesus will not begin his reign until he returns to the earth. The claim we are being presented with then is that the Lord Jesus reigns as king even now, ruling and exercising his royal authority in both heaven and earth. The implications of this teaching is clear. If what the Endeavour teaches is true, then the kingdom of Christ, by definition the arena over which a king exercises his rule, is not future but present. Indeed, this is the thrust of the article we cite from, that Christ's kingdom is even now being established throughout the world by preaching. True, evil, and wickedness have continued, but nevertheless the gospel has made inroads into the kingdom of Satan, and victories have been made for Christ. In other words, the Son has been busy bringing the world into subjection to the Father, so that in the end he may hand over the kingdom to God the Father. As written in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 24, in such an age when evil and wickedness have not just continued, but increased to the extent that the Lord likens it to that of Noah, as written in Matthew chapter 24, verse 38, compared with Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 and 11, we may well wonder what victories for Christ the writer has in mind, but what saith the Scripture? To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them, as written in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, the kingship of Christ. When we survey the great abundance of Scripture testimony regarding the kingship of the Lord Jesus, we find one point repeatedly emphasized that we cannot disregard it in any analysis of the matter. The Lord Jesus was born to be King of the Jews, and the kingdom over which his dominion is said to extend is essentially an Israelitish kingdom. So Gabriel testified, "The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob for ever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end," as written in Luke chapter 1, verses 32 to 30. The wise men inquired, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" As written in Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, Nathanael exclaimed, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel," as written in John chapter 1, verse 49. Even the chief priests and scribes recognized that it was written by the prophet. "And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel," as written in Matthew chapter 2, verses 5 to 6. Pilate asked him, saying, "Art thou the King of the Jews?" As written in Matthew chapter 27, verse 11, to which our Lord answered in the affirmative. Further examples could be multiplied many times, for the scriptures are explicitly clear that the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ is to be centered in Israel, prophetically styled his first dominion, as written in Micah chapter 4, verse 8. If it is the case that the kingdom of Christ began subsequent to his resurrection, something that it is alleged the New Testament teaches so clearly, we would expect the prophetic word of the Old Testament to speak likewise. Yet we find that this is not so. The prophets reveal Jerusalem, not heaven, to be the location of Christ's royal throne, for it is written, "At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of Yahweh, and all the nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of Yahweh, to Jerusalem," as written in Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 17. Compared with Isaiah chapter 24, verse 23, Jerusalem, not heaven, was the ancient site of the Davidic seat of power, and so it will be in the future, when the Lord commences his reign. He will be seated in Jerusalem, the city of the great King, as written in Matthew chapter 5, verse 35, his throne being positioned in the temple yet to be constructed there, as written in Zechariah chapter 6, verse 13, and Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, that he might reign as a kingly priest after the order of Melchizedek, as written in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 15. So it is that without Israel there can be no kingdom. For the dominion of our Lord is that ancient Israelitish polity restored, as written in Acts chapter 1, verse 6, Jerusalem being the future capital city of the world, as written in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 3, with the citizens of that first dominion being restored both to their land, as written in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 25, and to their God, as written in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 28. Has the reign of Christ thus described begun already? Clearly not. No passage in the Old Testament teaches that the Lord will rule from heaven, but rather upon earth, from the reconstructed Davidic seat of power in the ancient city of Jerusalem. The establishment of the kingdom. The scriptures also clearly reveal that the kingdom of God will be established by the conquest of nations, not their voluntary submission to the gospel, as our adversary would have us believe. So it is that the prophets speak of the Lord's judgments against the coming invaders of Jerusalem. "I will also gather all nations and will bring them down into the valley of Jehoshaphat, and will plead," meaning judge, "with them there for my people and for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land," as written in Joel chapter 3, verse 2. "For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle. Then shall Yahweh go forth and fight against those nations, as when he fought in the day of battle," as written in Zechariah chapter 14, verses 2 and 3. "I will plead against him with pestilence and with blood, and I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain and great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself and sanctify myself, and I will be known in the eyes of many nations. And they shall know that I am Yahweh," as written in Ezekiel chapter 38, verses 22 to 23. This is the means whereby Yahweh, the great God of Israel, shall be made known in the eyes of many nations, by the greatness of his power being openly declared in the judgment of Israel's enemies and the salvation of his people, as written in Isaiah chapter 66, verse 18, and Isaiah chapter 52, verse 10, "At that time, whilst there will be some who submit, having witnessed these judgments," as written in Psalm 18, verse 44, "there will be others who seek to rebel, The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against Yahweh and against his anointed, meaning Christ, saying, Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us, as written in Psalm 2, verses 2 and 3. This rebellion is further described in the revelation to John, speaking of the kings of the earth. These shall make war with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful, as written in Revelation chapter 17, verse 14. So it is that far from being brought under the dominion of Christ by a humble submission to the gospel, there will be many who refuse to accept his reign even after having witnessed such a mighty outpouring of his power. They will war against Christ, who will deliver them a crushing blow. Compared with Daniel chapter 2, verse 34, and Matthew chapter 21, verse 44, and impose God's laws upon a subjugated world. The apostle clearly teaches that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, as written in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, and so the kingdom will not be established by the world humbly receiving the gospel. Rather, it will be by the power of Almighty God bringing all the earth into subjection to his Son. The Lord Jesus does not presently exercise such dominion. The Lord Jesus does not presently exercise such dominion over his enemies, but in his Father's purpose it will be so, for he is now set down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, as written in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Christ is currently Lord, but a future King. Despite the breadth of his sweeping statements and the repeated affirmation of his unjustified claims, LB, by his own admission, is unable to find passages which use the words rule or reign in connection with the current work of our Lord. So it is that in speaking of Ephesians chapter 1, verses 18 to 23, he confesses it is true that the word rule is not literally in the Greek, even though it is in the faulty translation he uses. Again, in the extract we cited earlier, when speaking of Matthew chapter 18, verses 18 to 20, he concedes, the words rule and reign are not used here by Jesus, although he continues by saying, it is abundantly clear that he has been put in charge of heaven and earth. And what else can that mean but that he rules and reigns over both domains? But no such thing is abundantly valid. What is abundantly clear is that if the Lord intended to inform us that he rules and reigns over both domains now, he would have told us such, and by Les Body's own admission, he has not. What the Lord did tell his disciples, and what the New Testament does teach so clearly, being abundantly clear from our opening citations, is that the Lord has been given power in heaven and earth, which, in the absence of scriptural support, is interpreted to mean he has been given kingly rule. We are asked, what else can that mean? Well, let us search the scriptures and see. The apostle clearly informs us that there are two aspects to the status of the risen Jesus. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ, as written in Acts chapter 2, verse 36. So then, Jesus is both Lord and Christ. The word Christ, according to Les Body, means King. Not so. No Greek scholar worth hearing would accept this definition. It means anointed, speaking of one anointed to be king and priest. The Lord Jesus is both Lord and has also been anointed to reign as a king and priest after the order of Melchizedek. Two aspects which we need to consider when he comes. Yahweh's Christ is to reign from David's throne, as written in Luke chapter 1, verse 32. Yet although he is currently anointed, he does not now so reign. In the life of the original incumbent of that throne, we see a precedent for this. David was selected by the Lord God to reign over his people in the place of Saul, whom he had rejected, as written in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 26, and chapter 16, verse 10, even being anointed by Samuel in preparation for that position. Yet a considerable time elapsed between the time of anointing and the time when his reign actually began. He had a number of opportunities to take up his reign before due time, as written in 1 Samuel chapter 24 and chapter 26, compared with John chapter 6 verse 15, yet rather demonstrated a spirit of faith and patience in waiting for the time appointed by the Father. The situation is similar in the case of the Lord Jesus Christ. Being rejected and persecuted by the Israelitish authorities, he has departed into a far country to await the appointed time in which he might return to take up his reign. But the parallel goes even further than this. During the interim period of Saul's reign, the Spirit informs us that everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them. As written in 1 Samuel chapter 22, verse 2, he became a captain and lord. Compared with 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 24, over those who sought him before his return to reign. Even so, we who are discontented and distressed by the evil ways of this wicked generation forsake the ways of sin, having our debts forgiven, as written in Matthew chapter 6, verse 12, by association with him. We join with him in the hope of his future reign, that as his brethren we might reign with him, as written in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12, and Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, and experience the blessedness of his coming kingdom. Were any of those who followed David as their captain and lord under any delusion that he was already reigning as king? By no means. Why then is it that some who profess to follow the greater David, as written in Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 24, in similar circumstances believe that his kingdom has begun, especially whilst recognizing that Christ himself did not speak in such terms? The Lord Jesus is our captain, the captain of our salvation, as written in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10, whom we pray will lead us into glory. His reign has not yet begun, yet his lordship over us remains, as written in John chapter 13, verse 13. But the difference between our Lord and David is that his current lordship is far, far greater. He has been given power in heaven and earth, as written in Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. He has been raised to be seated at his Father's right hand as a Lord, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, as written in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 21 to 22, not that he is currently king over all things, for heaven is the domain of Almighty God. He is king, reigning there. The dominion of Christ is to be upon earth as Yahweh's representative, rather, being given a name more excellent than the angels of God. Being made so much better than they, the Lord Jesus exercises control over world events through them. It is so truly written that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will, as written in Daniel chapter 4, verse 17. Yet we know that he does not do this by issuing royal commands, which kings and princes tremble at and obey. Rather, the angelic hands of providence move unseen to those ignorant of his purposes, compared with Daniel chapter 10, verses 13 and 20, to accomplish the divine will. And the Lord Jesus, being given power in heaven and earth, having dominion over the angels of God, is able to move world events according to the apocalyptic scheme given to him by the Father, as written in Revelation chapter 1, verse 1, that they might culminate in the ultimate overthrow of the kingdoms of men, for him to take up his rightful reign from David's throne. Now, as a most highly exalted Lord, he is able to watch over and guide all things towards that great climax. But then, as Yahweh's anointed king, he shall reign openly, with the kings of the earth bowing before him in trembling obedience. In the next issue, if the Lord will, we shall examine more fully the present role of the Lord Jesus Christ in this regard, and also his current activities in the life of the believer. Having made abundantly clear what the present role of Christ is not, we hope to progress to consider what it actually is. By Christopher Maddox.